Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of week where you download the Crazy Sheet, pull out your favorite podcasting app. It doesn't matter if it's Apple, if it's Google, if it's our Heart Radio, if it's Spotify. We're on all of them, and we love to have you there with us. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, and I've got Scotty, and he's at home, and we're enjoying some action on this Wednesday evening. Scotty, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm great. Action back-to-back weeks has been fabulous for me. Not only have the games been great, but My games, I have narrowed it down. I have quit betting on 9 of them. I just started picking the game I like and putting wood on it, and it's turned out fabulous.
I tell you what, betting the under on a Maxion game is like playing Russian roulette, because you only got one empty. I mean, you're going to get shot in this game no matter what. I mean, I don't know how you can play unders in these games.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's just insane. We're at 77 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we're already over, and Kent State had 2 turnovers in the first quarter.
In the
other team's territory.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, what in the world is going on? Gotta make that play right there. We're already over, so I could care less. Last week was interesting, Mark. First off, how about South Carolina gas cannon Florida? If you'd have told me I could have seen Florida losing that game, I would have believed it, especially when I found out about they were having COVID problems. I didn't see them getting gas canned. And then they got major problems in Gainesville. Look, nobody's surprised Todd Grant got fired. It's big news. John Hevesy got fired from that coaching staff. He's been with Dan since Florida under Meyer. I mean, that's how long he's been with the entire time at Mississippi State. He left Mississippi State, went to Florida with him. And to make that change tells me that Dan's reaching. You fire the offensive line coach and you're leading the country in yards per carry. How the hell does that make sense?
That team's a mess. It's a mess.
But on the internet, he's the guy that can't recruit. Nobody likes him. You know, he's gruff. He's reaching for straws. That's the bottom line. He's feeling the heat.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a that last week was so weird. I was sitting there watching the game, and I've got multiple TVs, which I'm blessed to have, and I can watch multiple games at the same time. And so I had that game on and then off. And at the end of the game, I see Mullen getting interviewed, and I don't pay much attention to it because I was blown away how bad they got blown out. And then after the game, one of the reporters asked him, how come the team did not go over to the band and sing the school fight song, which is a tradition of every team that does that? And Mullen said he didn't know the band was there because they were on the road and the band doesn't always travel. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, it's like, man, you got to pull your head out of your ass a little bit before you're going to talk to the media about this stuff and make it look like you care. Because to me, it does not look like he cares. I know AR-15 was banged up. And that's some things, but man, it's just that team looks so lost to me. Like, it's crazy to me that we're coming down to the end of the season. I mean, Miami, Florida State plays this weekend, and then a couple of weeks you're going to have Florida State and Florida play. And you and I are of the generation where, like, these were some of the biggest games in the country. And now these are games it's like you may or may not tune into if you've got 5 TVs. And Florida is a team. I mean, think about it. When Florida played Alabama and they went toe to toe with them, that seems like 2 years ago, because that team has fallen so far, so fast.
So yeah, and I will tell you, I think we're coming to light that Alabama's not that good. That's coming to light. I think Auburn's going to beat them at the end of the year.
I do, too.
I'll be honest with
you. I do, too.
But having said all that, I want to go ahead and make a forecast. If it works at South Carolina – with this current coaching staff, they're going to be able to circle this football game and say that was the difference maker. Shane Beamer had a huge recruiting weekend, tons of guys on campus. You know, he brings guys in. And look, whether you're bad or not, you got to get people there for when it's going to be a good environment. And, man, he hit a haymaker.
Oh, yeah.
Just a one-punch knockout early in the first round. And look, that's a fun stadium when South Carolina's good.
Oh yeah.
And If we look back and this is a successful hire for South Carolina, I think you're going to be able to circle this game as the game that propelled them forward. I really do. That's a big win for Shane Beamer. You know, he obviously had his old family there. But getting this win when you've made it a marquee recruiting weekend is a big deal. It is a big deal when it's your first year as a head coach, and you can't overstate that enough. Some great games last week. Look, we had a phenomenal week. Last week, it started early with Maction, and we just kept on just rolling through the weekend. We got an under 37 and we got overtime. How the hell does that happen? I mean, I saw him go to OT. A friend of mine texted me, and I was like, yeah, that game's got to be under, doesn't it? And he was like, no, they just went to overtime. I'm like, what? And so I flip on the game. I mean, I quit watching it. Oh. And they're in OT, and they stop them. Man, they broke that pass up, and I was so stoked. Oh. I mean, it was just unbelievable. What a great cover. Great cover.
Second time in my life that I've ever hit an under on a game that went into overtime. And I was sitting here watching it in the backyard with two of my buddies, and one of them had rode the play with me. And as soon as we got to overtime, he and I are both like doing the math to figure out how fast we can get to the 2-point conversions and how many of them have to go back and forth to figure out if we can hit this or not. Comical game. And they played it in a baseball stadium there in Dallas, and there was very little environment. But, yeah, we went under on that one.
You know, the crowd was better than I thought it was
going to
be.
I agree. I totally agree.
It was significantly better than I thought it was going to be. I have to say, though, that game made me realize that I'm a little concerned. I got to quit talking about the podcast and gambling so much. I'm concerned I'm raising an 11-year-old degenerate gambler. Because he's like, Dad, who are y'all taking this weekend? And he was like, oh, well, let's watch this game. Let's watch this game. Hey, what's the score of this game? I'm like, whoa, man, I got to dial this deal back a little bit. We got to quit talking about the games quite so much.
Well, you say that. I've got a buddy and his son, and they live out in Florida. And Parker, if you're listening, brother, love you. Glad you had a great season. But he rolled in on his dad a couple of weeks ago and gave him a 3-game parlay that he had been researching to get into. So they put $100 down on this 3-gamer and, of course, won it. And it hit, and they won 6-1. And I said, well, make sure he understands that betting 3-game parlays is not a way to keep winning money when you're gambling, but that's a damn good win for him. I think it's just the opposite. I think it's good, you know, now that everybody's endorsed. I mean, hell, when you and I started doing this podcast, it was like dirty. Like, we're talking about lines. Oh. We would talk about
– you had to use off-site gambling. You had to use underwater bookies. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And not only that, you and I'd be talking about teams that were good, and they were like 3-6. And we're like, man, that team's covered 7 times. It's like, that's a pretty good football team. I mean, how I gauge who's going to be good going into next year, the first thing I do is I go back and I look at who were the teams that had winning records against the spread this year, and I gauge it going into the next year. And I think that's a good barometer. Like, take Nebraska. Since we got a lot of coaching news to talk about, Scott Frost restructures his deal. Cuts his buyout in half from $15 million to $7.5 million. Ask him if he can give him a raise to hire some new coaches. Basically fires the entire offensive coaching staff and sticks around Nebraska. And you know what? I thought it was a good move by both the school and him. Because I don't know who you're going to hire that's a better coach than Nebraska. And I think he proved to them, it's like, hey, I want to be here. I want to turn this team into a winning team again. I want to get there.
Yeah.
And that team against the spread, I mean, they have 8 games that they've lost by one score. He's got the worst record of any Nebraska coach in 60 years through this span. But against the spread the last 3 years, he's lost more one-score games than any coach in the country. And so I don't think they're as far off as what people may think they are.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is the benefit for Scott Frost. Trev Alberts is a football guy. Mm-hmm. He's an All-American. He's an all-time great at Nebraska. Most ADs don't understand football. He goes out there and he understands. Scott Frost knows what the hell he's doing because the guy does know what he's doing. He let's not forget what he did in Orlando.
Yeah.
He built that program. And, you know, they were salty. And I don't think people realize how hard that job is. I have said this and I mean it. I thought they it would have been dumb to fire Scott Frost. I think it's stupid if Miami fires Manny Diaz this year. They have been wandering in the wilderness for years. I mean, honestly, since they fired Butch Davis, because Coker sucked too. Golden had a couple of good years down there. But at the end of the day, that program hasn't been good for a long time. And I think Diaz has got a shot. They got to be patient. He signed a five-star defensive guy last year. Look at that freshman quarterback. That guy can play. Give the guy a little time. I mean, we've also been through COVID, and everything's been on his ear for 2 years, you know. And I just think, especially a guy who's building a program, that affects a lot. I mean, you got to go back and you got to be honest and you got to give an honest assessment. Look, it's the same thing with Mike Leach's program. People are, I've repeatedly said, I don't think Mike Leach was the right hire from Mississippi State. I don't know if it's going to work. I think Leach is a good coach. I don't think any of those things make anything I'm saying inaccurate. I'm just saying I don't think it's a good fit. When you look at how talented the state of Mississippi is, and he doesn't recruit any of the guys they produce.
True.
I don't think it's a good fit. That's just what it is. You know, Mississippi State puts out the highest percentage of high school players making it to the NFL at 26.5% of players make it to the NFL. That's unbelievable. And yet he doesn't want any of those guys. He doesn't sign that many of those guys, especially in the offensive side of the football. That's a bad fit. So it doesn't mean Mike Leach is a bad football coach. It doesn't mean Mississippi State's a bad job. I just don't think he's a good fit. I think Scott Frost is a great fit. I think Manny Diaz is a great fit. I think Sam Pittman's a great fit. There are guys that you got to give an opportunity, especially through COVID. And I think it's a good move by Trev Alberts.
I do too. And I think, you know, we talked about this, and I've said a long time that I didn't think that Matt Wells would make it at Tech, and I thought they'd hire Sonny Dykes. I really think TCU got nervous when Tech fired Matt Wells and was like, look, we got to get rid of Sweaty P and move him on, because they wanted to get the first touch at whoever's going to coach in Texas. And Tech did what I think what Arkansas did. They were, and you've said it for years, they were not concerned about winning the press conference. They tried to find a coach that would fit their program, not going to have to pay him as much. They're going to have a bigger budget for assistants that they can bring in there and coordinators. And the guy is in the Texas High School Hall of Fame, and he's won 142 games or something like that. He's very well respected. And 5 years ago, Matt Rhule hired him at Baylor. He still knows a lot of these great coaches around the state of Texas, and those, that's a big deal, man. That's a huge deal for a pipeline,
for Tech,
especially for Tech.
It's a big deal,
because if you've never been to Texas, you got to realize Texas Tech is 5.5 to 7 hours away from the major metropolitan areas in Texas. And trying to recruit all those kids to come out there, it's a big deal. And so having inroads in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, those places, I mean, it's a big deal, because he knows he's not going to be able to get 5 stars. But if he can find coaches that'll give him the honest truth and say, hey, this kid that's a 3-star, you get him on campus and you feed him and give him some coaching, this kid's going to turn into a 4- or 5-star player. Art Briles did the same thing at Baylor, because he couldn't recruit 5-star kids.
And in Houston, same thing.
Yeah. And so,
here's the thing I like about the hire at Tech. It's not a damn search committee. It's not some search firm. These guys went out and found their football coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's not some Jake Legg sitting at a search firm piling through resumes, calling the 8 biggest agents, finding out who the hot coaching candidate is. They went and found their guy. And whether he's the right guy or not, we'll find out. But boy, everybody laughed at Sam Pittman, and he's doing a hell of a job. And the more I watch Sam Pittman, the more I think he's going to be successful. His response last week after that kid missed the field goal was phenomenal in that ball game. And look, I understand I'm a Mississippi State fan, so I'm watching the game more closely than most people. I won't talk about the officiating. Anybody that follows me on Twitter already knows what I think. That was the worst 2 minutes of officiating outside that Memphis game that I think I've ever seen. I mean, they actually need to snap the ball before the left side of the offensive line takes off, but that's a whole nother story. Pittman's response post game is, you know, hey, man, just glad he missed it. Feel sorry for the kid. You know, I think we've all been on the other side of that, blah, 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 blah. Happy for our football team. That's just a classy dude. Mm-hmm. That's just a and then they ask him in the press conference, he makes a funny joke. Oh, I knew he was going to miss it. And then he instantly goes into, you know, man, you hate it for that kid. You know, he's just, he seems like a good dude. I mean, just like I said a couple of weeks ago, that Dan Mullen's not a dude you want to hang out with. Sam Pittman's just the opposite. He looks like a dude you want to hang out with.
I would agree with that. Know? How about let's go out to the Pacific Northwest. The Pac-12 in general is just a fucking mess. I would not want to coach football out there. I don't know how you coach football at Cal with all the COVID restrictions that you got to deal with inside that county. They had so many kids that couldn't play. Kid that plays offensive guard for him from our hometown. I ran into his dad Friday night at the game. And he was like, hey, did you bet Cal? And I was like, no, I said I didn't bet Cal in 2 years. He's like, make sure you take the under in that game. He's like, there's like 25 kids that aren't playing. He goes, they hadn't even announced all of them yet. And he goes, and it's already hit the news. And I was like, how come? And he told me, he goes, it's more about county restrictions than it is anything else. They won't let them travel. But I mean, anyway, it's a mess. But then you can go up north and we can get into a game with some nasty weather. And that would be Oregon and Washington. And man, I saw something last week I have never seen. I looked up at the end of the first quarter, and Washington had 9 points and had zero first downs. And I was sitting there trying to figure out how the fuck does this happen? I've never seen this in my whole life. And it wasn't – and I was blown out because I was kind of watching the game. But Washington's offense is so atrocious.
It just, oh, it's atrocious.
It's so bad. And so this week, then the coach is suspended for this week for clubbing the kid in the head after a bad play. And then I want to know who fired the offensive coordinator. Because as far as I know, the coach had already gotten suspended. So who came in to fire the offensive coordinator this week? Just some random dude? Like you just pull some TA out? Hey, can you go fire our OC real quick? Because he sucks dick. And we don't need him back next week. But that's a mess at Washington.
It's a total mess at Washington. That deal last week. Do you understand? Man, I've had coaches grab me worse than that.
Yeah, I know.
And I was a kicker. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's breaking up. What's he supposed to do? Let it turn into a melee? And then everybody's like, well, why didn't Jimmy Lake get in there? You know, look, if that kid can't take that, it's like the kid at Texas filming that on Bo Davis.
Oh, boy.
You know what? That ain't going to work out for you the way you thought. I just think America's soft. The bulk of Americans are soft. That's the bottom line. Bulk of them can't play this game. That is the bottom line.
I would agree with you.
And they don't understand what goes on and how you're talked to. But more importantly, man, when you're doing conditioning and all those things, what you have to go through to push through to be a good football team and to be in condition, what you've got to do to get there. The average American doesn't have any idea what's going on. And that those guys are fired up, and but that coach ain't pissed. It's like Mario Cristobal a couple weeks ago when he's cussing that kid, and the kid's looking him in the eyes, and everybody's like, Mario Cristobal, da-da-da, blah-blah-blah-blah. You know what? Y'all are just jackasses. You just because you're fat and terrible and you can't do it, doesn't mean that kid can't. He can't. You know what? He's got more mental toughness in his little finger than you do in your body. That's why your ass is sitting around writing about it.
I agree with that. And Bo Davis, Bo Davis going gas can. I mean, I hope the kid that recorded that and put it out, I hope he's off the team. But what I was more impressed with that is, look, there. If you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've played football because I don't know why else you'd be here. We don't have thousands and thousands of people to listen to us. We've got a pretty loyal group that downloads us and we enjoy it. But it's like, I was not offended by Bo Davis. I actually thought, you know what? There's people that grew up in locker rooms and there's people that didn't grow up in locker rooms. Well, I grew up in a locker room playing football. I got the privilege to play high school football in West Texas and I loved every minute of it. And if you didn't play well, then you heard about it. But what you really heard about and happened one time was we were laughing and dicking around on the bus after we got our ass kicked. And they stopped the bus and they got us off. And we were on the side of the road in a ditch in street clothes running gassers. And I didn't get – and when I got back on the bus, the only thing I thought was is I ain't saying a damn word till we get off this bus. And it wasn't because I was upset or my feelings were hurt. It was because I knew I was in the wrong. And when Bo Davis goes gas can on those guys and just and tells some of them they need to get in the transfer portal, I agree with him. I mean,
me too.
That son of a bitch is a winner. He knows how to win, and he knows that roster he took over with Sark is like there's some losers on that team. There's some kids that will settle to lose, and they're just glad that they got an opportunity to be a five-star, be a four-star, and they're going to go to Texas. But they ain't willing to put the work in. And he's used to watching kids that are four- and five-stars come to Alabama that put the work in because they're there to win national championships, and they're there to go to the NFL. You know, their college career, their career does not end at 21, 22 years old.
And he was there coaching Acho and those guys when he was at Texas the first time. He's used to guys who want to play, who want to grind. And he looks at that, and he's got no patience for him. No. I want to tell you something. Anybody – I saw somebody posting, they old Barbo Day. No. No. They'll find those eight guys that were laughing and make sure their ass is gone because they're not part of the solution. And I have said this before, Mark, I've said this to you, and I can't remember if I've said it on the podcast, but you and I've talked about it many times. I think the culture at Texas is solid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't mean the coaching. I don't mean the coaching. I think it is an entitlement culture at that university, and I think it is something they've got to fight. It is, oh, we're Texas. Oh, the 40 acres. Oh, they don't have that grinder, mental, just get – and football is still the guy who wants it the most wins it.
The game. Yeah.
That's the bottom line. More than anything in America, football's still that. And I just think Texas – and I don't know how you fix it. I'll be honest. I've said this to you. Again, I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast. I've said to you many times. I think it's a whole lot bigger than a coach at Texas. And I think they're starting to realize it because they rolled through three hot shot guys, and all of them are failing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And at some point, you're the problem, not the people you're hiring.
Yeah.
And as a guy who's hired a lot of people, at some point, you got to look at yourself and say, hey, what are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot going on the 40 acres, and I think that was a prime example. And the greatest part is, you know, he posted that thinking, oh, we could just go fired. No, that didn't work out, bro, quite the way you thought it was going to work out. Dumbass. Let me tell you, he's going to get fired on this deal. The second they find out who posted it, and they got somebody there that can figure out the post and all of that and go and track it back, your ass is gone. Let me tell you where you're going to be. And let me tell you, you're going to end up playing D2 ball because ain't nobody going to want you. I don't care if you're a five-star because nobody wants that in their locker room. Cam Newton is not playing in the NFL because he's not capable. He's a circus, and nobody wants to bring the circus to town, and nobody's going to bring the circus to town with you either, buddy.
I agree. On a different note, I saw another thing, Scott, I thought I'd never see last week. And we talked about it glancingly on the podcast last week. I thought Tennessee – was going to get it right and get against Kentucky and get their win, and they did. But
great game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But my favorite part was Tennessee had 45 points, and they had only run 44 offensive plays. And I was like, there's nothing.
That pick six. It was great.
There's nothing like scoring 1.01 points per game, per play, or something like that, whatever the number is, and just running it out. Man, again, we've said it before. I am – so impressed with what Josh Heupel's done at Tennessee this season compared to what I thought was going to be. When he was bringing in Milton and Hendon Hooker, I was like, this is going to be a mess. And
Mark, don't you think he's legitimately a coach of the year candidate?
He has to be at least the head coach, the coach of the year for the SEC. I mean, I know they'll probably give it to Kirby Smart, but I think Heupel has done a phenomenal job if you look at it.
Hell, I could win 10 games with Kirby's talent. I'm serious.
I agree, though. He's got to, especially if he gets his team bowl eligible, he's got to be coach of the year in the SEC. And maybe you could argue he could be coach of the year nationally because there's there's no one in the country that thought Tennessee, they thought they were going to be a joke, maybe win the Vandy game, and that might be their only SEC win. I think I even said that when we had the pregame on the pre-conference show, but I don't know.
When they lost to Pitt, I still thought I was right saying they were going to be terrible. They looked bad against Bowling Green. They lost to Pittsburgh. I still thought, wow, this team's going to be a dumpster fire. I was like, they're going to be as bad in the SEC as I thought they were. And, you know, what they've actually done is done a really, really good job. So going back, I want to circle back to the Pac-12 for a second. There's some bad football being played out there.
Whew.
I mean, USC's terrible. Candidly, Arizona State's not nearly as good as they should be with the talent they've got. Utah seems like they're finding their way, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit this week. But Washington is abysmal. And this reminds me of when State and Ole Miss and those guys were taking that step forward in 2014 and putting good years. It was really because the other teams had come back to them, minus Alabama. You know, everybody else kind of come back to the pack a little bit. And you look at, is Wazoo really that good? Is Oregon State really that good? No, probably not. But the top-tier teams are terrible. Yeah. I mean, the brands in that league are awful. Oregon's the only team who's good. And the scary part for Oregon, they're going to have to beat Utah twice back-to-back, most likely. Everybody knows I'm holding a outside natty ticket on these guys. And I think it was great. I think if Joe Moorhead's not, they're undefeated. And I think they might still could have made the playoff after that Ohio State win if they lost to Utah once of those two games and that was their only loss. I think they might still could have made the playoff. But now they're toast because I don't think they're going to be able to beat Utah twice. Utah's kind of finding their stride. The rest of that league sucks. I mean, it sucks. Arizona State ought to be a really good football team with everything they've got. I know they've got some things off the field, but the rest of that league's terrible. Chip Kelly's done an awful job at UCLA. I mean, they should be better than that at this point. It's just, I mean, it is really disappointing how bad a football they're playing. And then you mix in how bad the ACC is, and boy, if Cincinnati's ever going to make the playoff, this is it.
I don't think they have a chance. I personally don't. I mean, here's the deal. They're hanging their hat on one good win against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's...
They need ND to win 11 games is what they need.
They need ND to win 11 games. I mean, you need some shit to fall apart in the SEC and not be able to get two teams in. It wouldn't hurt you if Oklahoma lost. I mean, there's a path for Cincinnati, but, I mean, a lot of shit has to happen for them to get in. And I'm not going to be one of those ones because this Cincinnati team is not nearly as good as last year's Cincinnati team, in my personal opinion.
I don't think so either.
And I'm not even sure it's as good as the UCF team that they didn't let in that, you know, that made their own national championship.
They still got to beat Smooth. They still got some heavy weight to go through in their league. You know, the heaviest weight in their league basically left to go through. But if they're ever going to make it, if a team outside the Power Five is ever going to make it, the ACC's a mess and the Pac-12's a mess, this is the year to do it. I mean, it really is. Oklahoma by no means looks like a playoff team. They beat Oklahoma State, beat Baylor. I think there's no chance they're not in.
I would agree. But I also think this – I'm going to be really interested this week in this Baylor-Oklahoma game. I personally think OU's going to run Baylor out of the building, and they're going to blow the over out. And the reason I think that is last week in that TCU game, Baylor's secondary got exposed by what they did at TCU. And Oklahoma can throw the rock. Now, Oklahoma's weak on the back end, but I think it's good that they got a bye because Oklahoma has Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State left. And most likely, they're going to have to beat one of those teams again in the Big 12 championship. But I think getting a bye and finally getting that kid, I mean, true freshman kid, finally getting him a week of reps where he doesn't have to worry about a game and game planning. You can just put something in and let the kid get some reps probably helped. So I'm going to be real interested to see Oklahoma's improvement this weekend when they play Baylor and see if they can't figure out a way to sneak themselves in here. Because they're not even in the top, were they 8 or 9 right now in the college football playoff?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's, you know, but look, the way they play, that's where they deserve to be. I mean, they've not looked good. And there are some style points in this deal. Eye test, to me, is important. and but they get an opportunity to change that. Baylor could be a good win. Oklahoma State could be a great win for them because I think Okie State's a good football team.
I do too.
So we'll get into it. A lot of time left, but I say this all the time for everybody who wants to expand the playoff. When have we not had the right national champion in the last 25 years? The only year you can make an argument was what, 03 when Auburn, and was it 03 when Auburn went undefeated and had three first rounders with a first round quarterback, and SC boat raced Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. But I mean, hell, they were better than Auburn. Nobody thinks this. Hell, they gas canned them, what, the year before that at Auburn. You know? So, I mean, USC was the best team in the country that year. But that's the only year you can even make an argument. The hell, a 14 playoff solves that. We don't need to expand the playoff. That's a bunch of gibberish. Hell, there ain't six or eight teams good in the country. Damn sure ain't 12 that can win a national championship. That's a joke. It's just everybody wants a trophy crowd and everybody wants to get more money.
Ooh, everybody gets a ribbon, brother. Everybody gets a ribbon. Scotty, that's all I got from last week, man. Saw some funny things. Last week was a great weekend to watch football. I enjoyed the shit out of it. We went 7-2 on the pod. If you picked up some of our early Twitter plays, you threw an extra couple of winners in there. I don't even know our record at this point. I think we're
55-36-3, counting the midweek action picks. We're rolling, baby.
Getting it going. Scotty.
If you are not following us on Twitter, I love me some action. So just FYI, don't miss.
Oh, goodness. We don't have enough time to put two of these together a week, but let's get started, Scott. Let's go to tomorrow night, Thursday night, North Carolina and Pittsburgh, 73.5 is the over. Pitt is laying 6.5 in this game. North Carolina scoring 39 points a game, giving up 33. They're 5-4 straight up, 4-5 against the number. Pitt scoring 45 points a game, giving up 22. 7-2 straight up, 7-2 against the number. Tell you where I'm going, man. Over 73.5. These teams are a combined 13-5 to the over. This is a short week. A short week does not bode well for these defenses getting a chance to rest, because they are going to be on the field a ton with the amount of plays. Both of these teams play rapidly fast offense. I think it's going to be wide open in this one. Narduzzi still likes to play some press coverage. I think Carolina's going to get a chance to bust a couple of big ones out there. I don't know if Pitt's going to cover 6.5 after North Carolina came after that big win from Wake Forest last week. But I like the over in this one. And that is weird, man, because on Thursdays I love to go under, especially in the first half. Over-under on the first half is 37.5. I almost leaned on it, but these teams can score from far, and I think they're going to in this spot. I like the over big time in this one.
You got two NFL quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what the difference is, and you don't get that much in college football.
No.
And at the end of the day, I think both these guys can sling the rock around. Look, their offenses are averaging over this. Now, clearly, you got to take defense into the equation on that. Is why this number is where it is. But, I mean, they're averaging 74, these two offenses. And at the end of the day, I think this number sails over. There's a lot of reasons for it. You know, at the end of the day, though, it's both these teams like to fling it around. Both of them are pretty balanced offenses. I mean, hell, North Carolina's really balanced. 9 yards a pass attempt, 5.3 yards a rush attempt. I mean, that's a balanced offense. They like to sling it around. That lets you score, puts pressure on defenses. Pittsburgh has and Narduzzi have done a really, really good job this year. So I think this game's going to be a score fest. I think it's big. I think it goes early. I think we have a lot of fun. It will not surprise me, Mark, if we get a Thursday first half under and a game over.
I can see that.
And that happens significantly more than probably our fan base realizes. But that's not going to surprise me at all tomorrow night.
No, I like it. Let's go over in that one. I like it. I hope they're rolling mustard and the mustard.
Hey, look, I gave you this stat, but North Carolina scored 113. Their totals have been 113, 78, and 87 their last three games. Pitt's last three games have been 83, 72, and 54, and Clemson being 54. Just FYI. Nobody plays Clemson's defense out there on that field tomorrow.
Oh, Scotty, let's move on down to the Fun Belt. Georgia State is traveling to Coastal Carolina, the Dirty Myrtle in this spot. Over-under's 52. Coastal's laying 10.5. Georgia State scoring 23 points a game, giving up 29. They're 4-5, straight up 6-3 against the number. Coastal scoring 42 points a game, giving up 17. They're 8-1 straight up, 5-3-1 against the number. Scotty, when we get to the Fun Belt in game 123-124, what's going to happen?
It's about quarterback injury for me. You got the quarterback for Coastal Carolina is out of this ball game. I think Georgia State is better than people realize. Don't forget, this team almost won on the road at Auburn. It's a better football team than I think people realize. I think they're going to be able to keep it close without the quarterback for Coastal Carolina. I think that makes a huge difference in this ball game. So I like it. We're going to take Georgia State plus the 10.5. At the Dirty Myrtle.
I like it all the way around. Scotty, let's go to game 137 on your rotation sheet. Houston's traveling to Philly to play Temple. Over-under here is 53.5. Temple is getting 24 as we record this podcast. Houston scoring 39 points a game, giving up 22. They're 8-1 straight up, 5-4 against the number. Temple scoring 18 points a game. They're giving up 36. They're 3-6 against the number. I'll tell you what, man, this Houston team is one you and I missed on. I've kind of become a Dana Hologram fan and a Clayton Toon fan watching this kid play. And defensively, this team plays well. They had a big upset against SMU a couple of weeks ago. This team is quietly 8-1. No one is talking about Houston. They're 8-1. Their only loss is to Texas Tech at the beginning of the season. They've taken care of business week in, week out. This Temple team, on the flip side, I think Rod Carey, who I liked at Northern Illinois, I got to think this guy's getting shit canned on Sunday because I think they're going to get run out of the gym. And their last four games, they played East Carolina. They lost 45-3. They played UCF. They lost 49-7. They played South Florida. They lost 14-30 Florida. They played Cincinnati. They lost 52-3. They're arguably about to play the best defense they've played all season. And they haven't scored more than, what, 17, 24? They've scored 27 points in the last four games, and they've given up 80, 130, 180. They've given up 194 points in that same span. I think this Temple team has given up. I think they're cashing it in. I think Carey knows he's probably dead man walking. Whereas you got a Houston team that's probably quietly thinking, hey, we could maybe – sneak our way into a January 1 bowl if we just keep our head down and just keep winning football games. And I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to blow Temple out on Saturday.
Man, I've got a stat like that I look at, and it kind of gives me trends and things like that. On sort, there's nothing good about where Temple's trending. Nothing. They're 1-5. Their last six is a home underdog. They're 1-6. They're 1-7 their last eight home games overall. They're 0-4 against the spread their last four games overall. It's just, I mean, you look at cold, 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 just not good. And that is a bad sign when you start looking at them. But then you look at Hologram, and here he is. I mean, making some things happen, you know, getting some things done. I will tell you, I can't stand Holgerson. He drives me bananas. I think he has the look of a guy who is always holding it together by just the short, just the hair on his chinny chin chin. I mean, it's like it's one bad move from running off in the ditch. I mean, he is just always on the edge is what it feels like. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to fire Carey, just like you said. I think it's going the wrong direction. I think Temple's mailed it in. That's why we're on Houston on this play.
Let's go to game 143 on your rotation sheet. TCU's traveling to Stillwater. Over under here is 54.5. Oklahoma State's laying 13.5. TCU scoring 31 points a game. They're giving up 31. They're 4-5 straight up. They're 2-6-1 against the number. Oklahoma State's only scoring 28 points a game. They're giving up 16. They're 8-1 straight up. They're 7-2 against the number. Big 12 matchup, TCU last week, weird circumstance. Gary Patterson stuck around all week. putting the game plan in place. They brought in Chandler Moore as the quarterback, and they threw everything they had at Baylor, including the kitchen sink, and they won that game 30-28. They changed the offense and put something in that nobody ever seen before. Baylor had some terrible, terrible interceptions in that game and turnovers that ended up costing the game, and they're about to play the best defense in the Big 12. And Oklahoma State arguably is one of the best defenses in the country. This is a team no one is talking about in the college football playoff, and I'm telling you right now, I've got a ticket. I've got a big ticket for Oklahoma to win the Big 12, and this team makes me nervous. I think Oklahoma State, their offense has not shown out with Spencer Sanders and those guys. They have not been explosive, but this defense is for real. I mean, when you're only giving up 16 points a game in a Power 5 conference, I don't know how many other teams are doing that. I mean, I know Georgia's below that because they're giving up less than 13. But 16 points a game, I think Oklahoma State is going to suffocate TCU. And I think they gave it all they had last week to get that win against Baylor. And I think the Pokes get this done and cover a 2-touchdown spread in this game.
Only way we don't get this undercover is if Okie State creates points on defense. That's the deal. I think that's the only thing we got to worry about. Okie State's legit. They've held multiple teams scoreless in the second half. It is just they are a good defensive football team. There's a lot of things that I like about this line. I can kind of bore people to death. But at the end of the day, the Cowboys under is a, there's a lot of good things going on with these guys on where they're at on over-unders and things like that. At the bottom line, I think their defense is going to dominate this football game, and that's what makes it low scoring. I like the under, and I think Okie State is quietly putting together a great year. If anybody's going to ruin Oklahoma State's season, Oklahoma's season, it's going to be Oklahoma State. And what happens if they finish with one loss? With this defense, how do you keep these guys out of playoff?
I think this team's nasty defensively. I mean, they're super nasty. I agree with you. I'm kind of interested. I'm looking for a place I can bet a ticket to get the Big 12 championship on Oklahoma State and get some good odds on it. But yeah, I like the under at 54.5. We're gonna roll with that. Play it, Scotty. Let's move down to your alma mater, traveling down to Jordan-Hare, Mississippi State. Over under here is this game 175. Over-under is 50.5. Auburn's laying 5.5. Mississippi State is scoring 28 points a game. They're giving up 25. They're 5-4 straight up, 5-4 against the number. Auburn's scoring 31 points a game, giving up 20. They're 6-3 straight up. They're 5-4 against the number. What kind of effort are we going to get out of the Bullfrogs this week?
I think Bulldogs gave great effort last week. This is back-to-back road games for the Bulldogs, and I just don't feel nearly as good about it. I think – you know, at the end of the day, Auburn is a better football team than Arkansas. I think Auburn is more talented. I did not think Arkansas was significantly more talented than Mississippi State. I think that bore out on the field. That's the reason that game the way it was. I think Auburn is, and I think they're going to show that on Saturday. I don't think this line is big enough. I'll be candid. I think State's got as good of a chance to win as they do cover. I didn't feel like that last week. I thought that was going to be a close game. I knew State had a chance to win, but I never thought Arkansas was going to put wood to them. This could go sideways on Mississippi State pretty fast, back-to-back road games. If Auburn gets a little momentum, Bo Nix, a different quarterback, as we've talked about many times in Auburn. I think they're a more talented football team. At the end of the day, I just think Auburn's better, and I think they're more than 5.5 points better than Mississippi State. I don't think they're able to get it done.
Hey, did you watch the opening to that CBS game last week when they were, you know, they do a little bit longer opening for that game because it's the only game they got, and they were showing these pictures of Bo Nix. Did you watch any of this?
No.
So they've got Bo Nix standing there. I mean, this kid looks sexy as hell. I mean, he's got the hair spiked up. He's got the tan. He looks good. I mean, he is Val Kilmer – playing Iceman in Top Gun if I've ever seen him. And I just wanted to take a picture of him, and I don't know the kid, and I just hit him up on Twitter with a picture of what Val Kilmer looks like now. And I'm like, hey, man, this is where you're going if you don't get this shit straight. I mean, you're going to have a big fat head with a nasty ponytail and live in some weird town in New Mexico. Because it's like, you just can't live off these looks, Bo Nix. It's like, you actually got to throw a touchdown pass every now and then. But, yeah, he is bad on the road, but he is way better at home. I agree with you. I think Auburn gets this one.
And Auburn laid an egg last week. I mean, an egg.
You think so? I thought A&M played well.
I thought they played great, but, I mean, Auburn was just inept. I mean, I do think A&M played well, but I think Auburn played poorly as well. I don't think
I'll give you that.
They're that much better than Auburn. But I think A&M is a good football team, and they're starting to find their stride. And look, I'll say this. This is what I think. I hope I'm wrong from a fan perspective, because if Auburn plays like they played Saturday at 2:30, this Saturday at 11, then we're going to lose this pick. That's the bottom line. I totally expect them to play better.
I think they play better. Scotty, let's stay in the state of Alabama. We got one of those weird SEC games. This is game 197 on your rotation sheet. Alabama at home against New Mexico State. This game is gross. Is it game 197? 194, sorry.
194.
194. Yeah. This game is so gross. Over-under here is 51.5. Excuse me, over-under 67. Alabama's laying 51. Alabama scoring 43 points a game, giving up 20. They're 8-1 straight up, 5-4 against the number. New Mexico State scoring 23 points a game. They're giving up 38. They're 1-8 straight up, 6-3 against the number. I'm going under 67. Here's the deal, man. I have watched this story so many times with Alabama. Saban gets no love out of blowing these teams out. And I know for a fact this weekend practice had to have been miserable for those Alabama players after last week's LSU game. But he also probably realizes that offensive line's not very good. And he's got to fix some issues going on at that guard tackle spot on the left side. Because the LSU just ate them up over there. They couldn't run the ball at all. I think there's going to be a heavy dose of Alabama run game in this one. I think they're going to come out strong. I think they're going to come out running. New Mexico State's going to be completely overmatched, and this game is going to be a blowout. But I do not see it getting to 67. There's no way in God's green earth that you can convince me that Alabama's going to score 58 points and you're going to give New Mexico State 10 in this spot. I just can't get there with it. And I'm taking the under at 67 in this game. I feel like this game always goes under, and Saban hardly ever covers this game.
And there's a lot of times in that case, I totally agree with exactly what you're saying. I also think that this line's legitimately in play too. You know, he rarely wins these types of games, but look, here's the deal. They're not going to play well. They're going to play flat as a pancake. They just played LSU. They got Arkansas and Auburn waiting on deck. You think they're fired up to play the Aggies? No. And this football team's not a typical Bama football team either. I mean, they're not nearly as good. And I do think they're still pretty good on defense, but offensively, they're not nearly as good as they've been. I think they're going to have trouble getting to that number. Look, they beat, in a very similar situation, UT Chattanooga 31-13 just a few years ago. You know, I mean, I think that was 4 years ago. I think you're going to get that kind of effort out of this football team. And it's going to give Saban – I half the time think Saban wants them to play shitty so that he can read them the right act before Auburn, because this is usually just the week before Auburn. This year, they got Arkansas and Auburn to play. I think sometimes he does it on purpose to be able to, you know, that guy's a mental warrior, man. And nothing about that, nothing that guy's doing is not playing. You know, there's an old line in the movie Hunt for Red October when he says, "Son of Russians don't take a dump without a plan." That's the way I feel about Saban. Nothing he's doing doesn't have a plan.
I would agree with you, man. And I can't, with Bill O'Brien being their offensive coordinator, it's just hard for me to believe this team. Because if they're going to score 67, they're going to have to get there on their own. Because this New Mexico State team is bad, really bad. And
bad.
I don't know how they're going to – I mean, this game has gone over the last couple of times, like when they've played in this spot, because Alabama will hang a 60-burger up. But, man, I just cannot see them. I don't know. I'll be shocked if there's 10 touchdowns in this game. So, all I'm saying, I'm going under Alabama at 67.5. Scotty, let's go to the game I'm going to be at Saturday night. Arkansas traveling to LSU, playing Baton Rouge, Death Valley. Over-under's 59. LSU's getting 2.5 at home. Arkansas scoring 32 points a game, giving up 24. 6-3 straight up, 5-4, that's the number. LSU scoring 28 points a game, giving up 27. They're 4-5 straight up. 4-5 against the number. I'm going to give you my opinion. Tell me what you think. I could be way out in the weeds. I think LSU gave it everything they had last week against Bama. They fought hard. They exposed Bama with some spots that there are some weaknesses there. But LSU hadn't been able to run the ball that well. Last week, that was probably the best weekend they've run the ball in a bit. Arkansas, I think, is going to be very physical, very dominant team. This LSU team is young. I think it's got a good future. But I think Arkansas comes in here and covers this game. This is a big game for Arkansas. To go to Baton Rouge and get a win, that's a giant win for this team. I think they get it done. Max Johnson, he's just throwing for his life. He's very inaccurate as a quarterback. He doesn't
have – that offensive line's awful.
It's bad. And I just don't think they get it done. This Arkansas team, even though they're 6-3, they're looking at this as like, man, we could be an 8-9-win team right here, right? And getting a win at LSU means a lot more for these kids than LSU winning this game when you got no head coach. And Ed Ogeron, as much as I love the guy and I think he's a great character for college football, I mean, that guy has zero fucks given. I don't know if you saw the video of him running through the Bama band like before the game started, you know, cutting his way through there and kind of disrupting stuff. And then the game's over and he's throwing up the L's and telling everybody we had a great game and stuff like that. He's checked out. He's going to take his $17 million and get him a place in the Bayou, and that's where he's going to sit, and that's going to be good. And no problem with that. But I think Arkansas wins this game. And I think Arkansas wins this game going away. I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game by 10 points.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is – look, this is a bigger rivalry than people realize. The boot is actually a bigger trophy than people realize. Man, there used to be some great games in this series. You go back to the days of Darren McFadden and those guys, there were some great games in this series. And I think this is a huge game for Arkansas. But they need to win this to not make this an average year. The way they started 7-5, I think, will be a disappointment for Arkansas. A win in Baton Rouge and 8-4, because they're probably not going to win in Tuscaloosa. We're probably not going to beat Alabama because I actually think they may be playing that game in Arkansas. But the difference being, that is in Tuscaloosa. I think they know they got to win this game. And because at the end of the day, they play Missouri at the end of the year, they got a chance to get to 8-4. They need to win this ball game. I think the way they won last week gives them a lot of confidence as well going down there. And I just think, like you said, LSU threw a haymaker. His coaching staff's done. It's ready to go. They'll probably throw one more haymaker at 8 a.m. to end the year, and I think that's done. But I don't think Arkansas catches another big punch.
I agree with you. Let's take that one. This one's an if game. And by if, we're playing game 151-152, Notre Dame and Virginia. The Virginia quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, is listed day-to-day. I think we're going to get him, but we haven't seen any news. If he's playing, over-under here is 64.5. Virginia is getting 6. I'm going over in this game. Virginia's offense is playing lightning fast. They're scoring 38 points a game, 39 points a game, giving up 31. Notre Dame scoring 33 points a game. They're giving up 22. Notre Dame's kind of finding their stride offensively. I think they're going to be able to do whatever they want against this Virginia defense because it hadn't slowed anybody down all season. But I also think if Brennan Armstrong's playing for Virginia, this team's creative, man. They're using Keaton Thompson. They've got the other kid that's out there playing all over the place. I like what they're doing. I think they could put some points up. I can easily see this being a 45-28 game, and we catch the over in this one. So if Brendan Armstrong's playing, I'm all in on the over on this one.
I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be high scoring. I'll be honest, I think it's high scoring either way. That's the bottom line. Virginia is not scared to not play defense, and they actually can make some plays on offense. And look, this Notre Dame defense, I'll say that this average point number they're giving up is a little misleading. Let me say it like that. I don't think this defense is that good. Statistically, they are when you look at them, and you look at the overall point totals. But I mean, North Carolina didn't hang any points on them. Virginia Tech didn't have any problem hanging points on them. And this Virginia team is certainly as good offensively as Virginia Tech is. I think we get a high scoring game here.
Scott, that's the board for this weekend. Do you got any ones you want to roll in through rapid fire?
Man, I got a couple. I think Kentucky woodsheds Vandy. Vandy's awful. I watched that Mississippi State game probably significantly more than I wanted to, even being a Mississippi State fan. They suck. And Kentucky's going to beat those guys by 21. If they don't, Stoops has got problems. I also like me a little Utah. I think they found their stride, but these Jake legs have burned me every time I get on the bandwagon. It's the whole reason I didn't bet them last week, because I thought, man, they're going to gas can Stanford. But I was scared. You know, they ghosted me on BYU, didn't play well against Arizona State. I'm like, I don't like these guys. Don't have a lot of confidence in them. Yeah, give me Utah. I'm back on them. I believe it. I think they fixed their problems. I think they're going to woodshed Arizona. Kudos to Arizona for getting a W, though, with the COVID boys last week. Utah's not going to have COVID this week. Take the points. Lay it. Go Utah.
I like it. Getting some oots. I like Marshall this weekend against UAB. Hang on. What game number is that? You got it in front of you by chance?
I don't.
So I love this Marshall spot. Marshall's won this game the last couple of years, not necessarily against UAB. This is the game every year where they celebrate the 75 players that they lost in the plane crash. They have won this game, and they have covered the last several years. This UAB team, quarterback play has been a little bit questionable. This is not as good a Bill Clark team as we've normally gotten out of UAB. I think this Marshall team, the only
203.
The only thing that scares me about this game is the quarterback at Marshall, Gunnar Wells, man. I like the kid a lot, but he is all over the map. As you like to say, schizophrenic. He's either really good or he's really bad. But this team runs the ball really well. I think they can get it done against this team, against UAB. I like him to cover a short line in 4.5 in this game when you lose a 75. Another one I like Western Kentucky, Baylor Zappi coming down to Rice to play this weekend. If you can find a team total of about 43-44, I would take Western Kentucky in this game. They're going to give up some points against Rice, but Rice's defense has no chance to slow this team down. You've got the HBU coach, Bailey Zappi, and those receivers that played at Houston Baptist that are coming back to Houston this weekend to play. I could see Western Kentucky putting up some fireworks in this game. I like Western Kentucky to cover, but I like their team total over 43.5 more than I like anything else.
You know, I love me a money line play. Vegas, though, is taking all the fun out of this money line play. I think NC State wins straight up versus Wake Forest, the 3.5 balls. But the money line's only +115. What's that tell you?
Speaking of
Vegas, thinks they're going to win too, big boy.
Speaking of Vegas, UNLV stayed up and watched that game last week. Have you seen what they do when they get an interception or when they score a big touchdown? You haven't seen this yet. They've got the Rebel Roller, and in the corner of the end zone, like back against the wall, they have a slot machine that's got the big area code of Vegas on top of it, and they come up and they pull it, and it spins, and it hits UNLV all the way across, and it starts spitting money out. And so all the players are just giving it the strip show, tossing dollars. It's the greatest. It's so good. It's better than the trash can.
That's fantastic. No, I have not seen that. That's fantastic.
If you haven't got a chance, just Google. You may have to find it on Twitter and just look up Rebel Roller, and you got to see it. But they yank it, and the money starts spitting out, and they're all standing there doing the things. It's fantastic. It's worth the watch. But, yeah, that was a good one. I kind of like UTEP this week to cover again against North Texas. UTEP got beat up a little bit last week against UTSA.
That's a pick 'em.
Yeah. And I think UTEP's got a – I think they got a strong defense in this game. And they could shut down North Texas. I think North Texas is going to be looking for a new head coach after the season's over. You know, they're 3-6. Seth Luttrell probably is wishing he might have taken the Kansas State job. Who knows? But he's probably not going to have a job at the end of the season. But I kind of like UTEP in that one. I don't have much else. The only thing else I've got, if you want a really stinky game to bet and maybe watch, take you some Ulamo laying 3 against Arkansas State.
I'm with you on this, baby.
Arkansas
I like State. This. At home, Ulamo laying 3, baby, against the worst defense in the country. Don't doubt the Bowden-Rich Rod combo, baby.
I mean, this team has won 4 games. They could go bowling.
They're so far over their under win total. Unbelievable. What was it, 1.5?
1.5. Yeah. And they are right there. If they win this game, I mean, they're 1 game away from going bowling at this point. And Arkansas State's the worst defense in the country. They're giving up 43 points a game. Ulamo gets it done, laying 3. I probably will have a little money on Ulamo in this spot. I'm not lying to you. It's going to be awesome.
One of the coaches on my son's little team that coaches with me was the quarterback at Ulamo. So he'll love this pick. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it this week. Only other game I've got, I like Oregon State -12.5 against Stanford. It's just an indictment of Stanford. I like Jonathan Smith, a lot of what they've got going on. But the bottom line is they're going to try to be explosive. They're going to be aggressive on offense. They're going to try to do some things there at home. I think they cover the 12.5.
Interesting. What's your favorite play of the week?
Favorite play of the week, I'm going to take Auburn laying 5.5 against my Bulldogs.
Look at you. I'm going to go with the – get
called out for being negative on my Bulldogs this week by my friends, I'm sure.
I'm going to get this over with early. Let's go Pitt over 72.5 Thursday night. I think this game's going to be a shootout, a lot of fun to watch. Looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
Yep. Mark, the thing is there's things I hate on this board. There's things I like. But there are a couple of things we're betting that teams that have been trending in the right direction. At Oklahoma State, those dudes have been machines on covering.
Yeah.
And they are – I'm going to tell you something. One of my favorite games to watch Thanksgiving weekend is going to be that Oklahoma State. Bedlam's going to be awesome. I mean, I think that is going to be a phenomenal game. Can't wait to watch it. And Lord hope they win it and they get to play them again the next week. It'll be awesome. I mean, that'll be tons of fun.
Oh, man. I agree with you. It's going to be fun. Anyway, this board, I do not love this board. So we had to dig out these 8-9 picks that we put out there. Hope everybody has fun. We're trying to make y'all some money. I hope y'all are enjoying this. I mean, this is – y'all pay big bucks to get these picks from all these other people. Y'all can just listen to us two dumbasses that have real jobs and have to go to work every day of the week to put these out for you. But we're having a good time. Love the feedback on Twitter. So, by the way, keep DMing us. Keep hitting us up. Love playing the Mac. We don't have time to record 2 podcasts a week, so we try to put the Mac picks out on Twitter on Tuesdays and Wednesdays best we can. So if you can follow us, you can pick those up. We've been pretty red hot on the Mac. If you take an under on the Mac, man, you might need to check yourself a little bit because it is getting wacky in the Mac, and I think it's only going to get better. Scott, I only have one question for you. Are you going to Athens this Tuesday?
No. only because I have to see my biggest account on Tuesday is the only reason, and I don't get that appointment until about 2 weeks beforehand. I'm like, well, that kind of shoots my midweek action that I've had planned for about 90 days. So, no, unfortunately, I'm going to be in Omaha, Nebraska on Tuesday.
I appreciate you telling me.
Which is unfun.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it till now, so I can cancel my flight. But yes, any Mike fans, if you want to invite us up to come to a game, you let Scott and I know. If we can make it work, we will be there. I still have a goal to catch a Tuesday, Wednesday Mac game. And, I mean, I want a game where it's fucking sleeting sideways, over under 66.5, and we're just going to go at it and roll from that standpoint. I love watching the Mac every Tuesday, Wednesday. It makes my heart happy. With all that being said, folks, we love you. We've had a great time, made some money for you. Hopefully, we're going to make some more this week. Hit us up on Twitter. He's Scott Denson1. I'm at @NetMark, and we always enjoy your feedback. And until then, we'll see you next week.